Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We are so glad to be here for this broadcast, and we are happy also that you have joined us for this program. We trust that you will gain some benefit from our meditation of God's precious Word. We're going to bow in prayer and seek God's help and blessing for this time. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee again for the privilege of drawing near to Thee. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou art our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Friend. We thank Thee that Thou art the great lover of our souls. And we pray that as we meditate upon Thy precious Word, that Thou wilt enlighten our hearts, that Thou wilt send Thy Holy Spirit, and that above all things the Lord Jesus Christ Himself may be greatly magnified. So be with us and guide us through this time. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to read some verses from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 1, reading through to the verse 8. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We trust indeed that the Lord will add His blessing to this reading of His infallible Word. The hymn writer Samuel Trevor Francis wrote a wonderful hymn. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of Thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to my glorious rest above. He went on in another verse. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, love of every love the best. 'Tis an ocean vast of blessing, 'tis a haven sweet of rest. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, 'tis a heaven of heavens to me, and it lifts me up to glory, for it lifts me up to Thee. It is very evident that as Mr. Francis wrote these words, his heart was stirred. God's love evidently had conquered and overwhelmed him. The metaphor that is used in this particular hymn is the metaphor of the ocean. God's love is likened to that ocean. We think of the volume of water, the depth, the expanse, the power of the wave, and the current. And truly, we can say that God's love is irreversible in its attractiveness. It is irresistible in its flow. It is inexplicable in its vastness. And this brings us to think about Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. We will read the verse again. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We could write over these words, God's limitless love to sinners. Now, there are some matters that we want to consider. As we think of this limitless love, we first of all consider the mystery of this love. We say mystery because this love was commended to us when we were yet sinners. Not when we were saints, but when we were yet sinners. And the mystery of this love is really demonstrated in a number of ways. It's seen by the contrast that it's drawn from verse 7. In verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." And there are two classes of people that are set before us here. The one that is righteous, the one that is good. The righteous person is a justified person. He does all that the law requires of him. He's one of exceptional character. And Paul says, scarcely will one die for such a person. But then reference is made to a good man. The good man, all that is said of the just or the righteous is true of him. Plus the fact that he is benevolent, he shows affection and is loved. Paul says maybe one might die for such a person. But you know, when we come to the contrast in verse 8, we discover that those whom Christ has died for have neither of these qualities. They are the worst of individuals. They are yet sinners. What a mystery that God's love could be shown to such. But this mystery also is seen by the condition that the sinners are in. And chapter 5 of Romans sets before us the condition, what men and women were in their sin and what all men and women are in their sin. Verse 6, it speaks about the ungodly. Here are people who are without God. Verse 10, it speaks of those who are enemies to God. So here are people who are at war with God, seeking to destroy him. And then verse 6 again, it speaks of those who are without strength. And this speaks of the fact that we have no power to save ourselves. We have no strength of our own to bring salvation to our hearts. And then there are a couple of words that are used in verse 10 and verse 2 and then verse 11. It says there in verse 10 that we are saved by his life. Now that word shows that we must have been lost. So all men and women without Christ, without God, are lost. In verse 2, Paul speaks about rejoicing. In verse 11, he speaks of joy. And that is now what the person that is saved is. They rejoice, they have joy. But before that, there was misery. Now, as we consider all these things which are applicable to the sinner, such are we. Is it not a mystery how God could command his love toward us? You see, pride exalts sinners to a higher plane than they ought to be. Men think that God owes them something, but we are debtors. These are the descriptions of you and me. Yet God commands his love toward us. But then this mystery is also seen by the condemnation that sinners are under. A person who is yet a sinner is under the divine displeasure. Verse 9 speaks about being saved from wrath through him. Now, wrath is the sinner's abiding portion. We think of Psalm 7, verse 11, where it says, God is angry with the wicked every day. We think of John 3:36, where it tells us that he that believeth not the Son, the wrath of God abides upon him. And every person without Christ has the wrath of God abiding upon them throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the years, as long as they remain in their sin. What a mystery that God can command his love to those who are under his frown. Are you not amazed at this mystery? It may be that You're still in your sin, not converted to Christ. Well, the Bible says that all these things that we have mentioned are true of you. And yet, God commends his love toward us who are yet sinners. But then God's limitless love in the second place to sinners is really seen in the manner it is manifested. I want to think about the manifestation of this love. It says here in verse 8 that Christ died for us. It says God commendeth his love toward us. Now that word commend really means to render conspicuous, to reveal, to manifest itself. And you see, this limitless love has to react and respond in some manner. How does it respond? Well, simply, Christ died for us. I want you to note that this is a manifestation of God's own love. Literally, this verse could read that God commanded his own love toward us. God and Christ are inseparably joined here. God commendeth, Christ died. Verse 7 speaks of man dying for man. But verse 8 really is different, wholly different. Here it is the God-man who's dying for man. You see, Jesus Christ is that God-man. Jesus Christ is God. Remember what it tells us there in Colossians 2, verse 9. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We have heard the expression on occasions, never ask anyone to do what you're not prepared to do yourself. Well, the Lord does not second or commission another to show this love. He shows it himself. Showed it himself in that he sent his only Son into this world. Think of those words in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, where Paul tells the church at Ephesus, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. When Christ's heart beats, it beats in unison with the Father's. The love of Christ, you see, is the love of God. What a manifestation that is. It's a manifestation of his own love. But then, this is a manifestation of voluntary love. It says, Christ died. Sometimes we use those words, Christ died, to apply to all that was involved at the cross. Man's involvement, the devil's attack on Christ. But the primary meaning here is, in contrast to what is said in verse 7, here, one is offering himself for another. But in verse 8, Jesus is offering himself voluntarily. The one that may offer himself for his friend, he does it on a voluntary basis. And Christ has offered himself voluntarily for sinners. Christ was not pushed. Christ was not pressed, coerced, or forced to go to the cross. We think of those words in Galatians 1 and verse 4. It says that Jesus gave himself for our sins. But then this is a manifestation of the ultimate sacrifice of love. For it says that Christ died. Christ died for us. If God will commend his love to us, this surely must be by some means which is extraordinary and outstanding, beyond what any would or could do. The Lord Jesus paid the ultimate price. He died. Here's the supreme sacrifice. He gave his life. He shed his blood. There was no halfway house with him. He went all the way. He went right down into the very bowels of death itself. He really died. He paid that ultimate price. But he paid the ultimate penalty, for it says he died for us, we sinners, unworthy, filthy enemies, condemned. Christ died for us. That death, that judgment, that punishment should have been mine, should have been yours. But he died and paid the penalty for us. The hymn writer penned the words, "Was it for me alone? The Savior left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendors of the sky. Was it for me? He came to die. It was for me, yes, all for me. Oh, wondrous love, so great, so free. Oh, wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King." Here is God's limitless love for sinners. It's manifest in these ways. But then I want you to think about the magnificence of this love. We may go to the architect's office and see that man working with the greatest of skill as he draws the plan for some notable and outstanding building. We may look at the plans with amazement. But you know, it's only when the finished article is considered do we see its magnificence. And we stand back and we look at the building and we say, what a magnificent building. How that architect has performed his work. How he has done so meticulously that plan and drawn it up. Well, you know, the magnificence of God's love is only seen aright when we behold the object of his redeeming love. And the object of God's redeeming love is the sinner. Now, to see the final product of God's love to sinners, we want to note some words in this verse. We think of verse 8 here. Note, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were," notice the tense in the past tense, "when we were yet sinners." The Apostle Paul here is speaking of a time in the past when he and others were sinners, were under condemnation. And really the implication is that now it's all different. Now, according to verse 10, they are reconciled. "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." And this love of God, this love of Christ, has brought him to a glorious position. The Apostle Paul speaks in the verse 1 of justification. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, what is justification? Well, justification is Christ taking our sins upon himself. They're imputed to him, and he suffers. He dies for them. Then that righteousness of Christ is imputed to us by faith in him. And we are justified. It's what Martin Luther called the great exchange. We are justified. We are set in a state of righteousness before God and before the law. There are so many blessings to the person that has been justified. There is a magnificence, a glorious magnificence to the person that has been saved by grace. So many things are said in this chapter which show that to be the case. We think of the verse 2, and it says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." We have access to God. We have access to all the blessings. Why? Because God hath commended his love toward us. And then we see there in the same verse that we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What great blessings there are for those that come to trust in Jesus Christ. There is a magnificence about it. There's a glory about it. Is there not a magnificence for this soul of mine? For this soul of yours? Once we were filthy, now we're clean. Once we were condemned, now we are justified by faith. And it may be as you watch this program that you have not been justified by faith. It may be as you watch this program that you are yet in your sin, that you're under God's condemnation. But this magnificence, dear friend, can be yours. It can be yours by simply placing your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Count Zinzendorf who penned those wonderful words, "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day, for who ought to my charge shall lay, fully absolved through thee I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame." He goes on, "When from the dust of death I rise to claim my mansion in the skies, even then shall this be all my plea, Jesus hath lived, hath died for me." It is truly a magnificent thing that poor, wretched sinners like us can be made righteous in the sight of God, can gain a glorious robe of righteousness. There are so many illustrations from the Word of God. We certainly could not deal with them all, but we think there of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. The Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian believers, telling them what God had done for them. And he says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." And God has chosen the unworthy sinners that he might make them jewels in his crown. Again, we can consider 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and here's another illustration of what God does for sinners. And there's a description in this chapter of people who have got away from God and are down in their sin. We think of those words in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then Paul said this, "And such were some of you." He was dealing here with people who were as sinful and as wicked and as wretched as it was possible to be. And yet God came into their lives and transformed them and changed them. They were now new creatures in Jesus Christ. Oh, the magnificence of God's love. We could come to Acts chapter 16. And there the Apostle Paul is thrust into jail with his friend Silas. He is put into jail simply because he's been preaching the gospel. And there was a jailer in Philippi, a very wicked man, a very cruel man who put Paul into the stocks and was extremely cruel to him. And at midnight there was an earthquake and the prison shook and the doors of the prison were opened. And the jailer was responsible for these prisoners and, of course, as being responsible for them, and if they escape, then he is going to face a death penalty. And he's about to kill himself with a sword. And the apostle tells him not to do himself any harm. He says, "We're all here." And then the jailer says this, "What must I do to be saved?" Here's a man realizing his life is on the line. Paul answers, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And what a story of God's grace that is, because the Philippian jailer comes to believe with all his heart and with all his house. And what a transformation there was in his life. We could think also of the Apostle Paul, a man who was bent on destroying the church of Christ. He went about persecuting the church, throwing some people into jail. In fact, the people that stoned Stephen, you may remember, they put their clothes, cast their clothes at Saul's feet, that young man determined to destroy the church of Christ. But on the road to Damascus, the Lord met Saul of Tarsus. And that man was changed and changed forever. And one just has to read his writings to see his zeal, to see the tremendous work that God did for that poor soul. The magnificence of God's love. If you're a Christian, God has worked in your life and changed you. And there's a magnificence about that grace that God has manifested to you. If you're not a Christian, dear soul without Christ, you have not experienced the magnificence of this love. But you can. You say, how can I have this love? How can I have this in my soul? Well, as you read the opening words of Romans chapter 5 and the whole chapter, we must take it as a whole. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by faith alone. We trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. I trust the Lord may bring you to salvation unto Christ. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for thy precious word. We thank thee for the truth of the gospel. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt write thy word on every heart and bring many to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.